We have Bibles in the pew for you, or you have scripture on the screen. Matthew 28. Verses 18 through 20 this morning. And as you're finding that, will you go to the first slide? We have been talking this month about missions. And I can tell you as a pastor preparing sermons, I sometimes struggle on Easter and Christmas because so many that come expect a certain passage because their whole lives, every time they've been to church on Easter, they always use the same passages. They talked about the same thing. I can't do that. It just never works for me. This morning, we're going to talk about how Christ's resurrection furthers our authority so that we can be sent out to share the gospel. So this whole month, we have set aside this month of March to talk about what missions means. Last month, we went to Guatemala, the first time that this church had gone to Guatemala on missions, and we will be going back for the next 5, 6, 7 years, going back and sharing the gospel year after year, helping them with local projects to show them the love we have for them, and helping Food for the Hungry through our sponsorship of children in the region, helping them to establish in this village life-giving principles based on the scripture. How do you make sure that you don't live in destruction? All these things through education, through agriculture, through other things. We are investing ourselves in this village. And so the question is, why are you doing that? Someone might ask. In fact, we ask that ourselves. Why are we doing this? Why would we do this? What is this all about? And so we set aside this month to say, okay, this is missions, but what exactly does missions mean? So at the beginning of the month, we talked about our motivation in missions. And our motivation is to see all the nations praise our heavenly Savior. That all the nations should be filled with joy as they learn to give praise to God. And that's our prime motivation, not because we think we can do something better than anybody else, not because we think that we are better than anybody else, but because we have a joy in Christ that others need to know, and the nations need to be able to be glad and praise the Lord. That's our motivation, and because of that, we learned that the second week of this month, we learned there are great blessings. There are blessings to those who hear the message and respond, and there's blessing to those who go and share the message. What is the message, though? A lot of people have different ideas for what missions work is. And we looked at the fact that missions is sharing the message of the gospel. Sharing that Jesus Christ died for our sins because we, as sinners, could not come before God on our own. That we stand condemned against this holy throne of God, that He deserves to cast us out of His presence for all eternity. The message is the forgiveness that we receive in Christ. The urgency we looked at last week is that Christ is returning, and when He returns, judgment will come. This heavens and this earth will burn up with fire. And a new heavens and earth will be created for those who will live with Christ for all eternity. The urgency is we don't know when that will happen. And so we beg, we plead for people to become reconciled to this holy God. And this week, what is the authority that we have in doing all this? What is Easter?
You know, somebody buck-bucked at me this morning, like the Cadbury Bunny. Is the Cadbury Bunny all about Easter? You know, the bunny that goes bark, 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 bark and leaves the chocolate eggs? Is that Easter? Is the Easter egg hunt that we had this morning for the children, is that Easter? A lot of people think it is. If you don't have an Easter egg hunt, you haven't done Easter in a lot of people's minds. If you haven't had a little Easter basket, you didn't get to do Easter this year. Is that what Easter's about? In a lot of minds, it is.
But you see, the church of Christ, the church of the risen Savior, we know that this is the day we commemorate the death and resurrection of our Savior. He died on the cross on Good Friday. He raised from the dead on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the day that has been set aside for worship of this risen Savior ever since. And on Easter, it's a special day that the whole world can know. Every Sunday, there's church everywhere around the world, but on Easter Sunday, the rest of the world knows this is a special holiday, and we get to tell them exactly what this holiday is for. Now, unfortunately, we spend so much time in the symbolism that we forget to tell them who Christ really is. I hear so many get all worked up that our Easter egg hunts are being taken out of this area or that area, that they're not calling it an Easter egg hunt anymore. It's calling whatever, a spring egg hunt or this egg hunt or that egg hunt. Can I share something with you? Who cares? Because no one is going to get saved by an Easter egg. If the world decides to take away all of our symbolism, Christ is still on the throne. He is not in the tomb. He is risen. And if they would just recognize that and bow down before His throne, they would know new life and not worry about the stupid Easter eggs anymore. We spend all our time and energy majoring in the minors, and we miss the true point of Easter. This is the day we tell the world that Christ died for their sins. This is the day we tell the world that they are sinners and yet Christ still died for them. And that if they would give their life to Him and surrender their pride before Him, recognize their sin and ask His forgiveness, they could be cleansed and know the new life that that egg symbolizes. If they would submit to Him, then they would get to reign with Him for all eternity, because He is the King of all kings and is going to reign forever. That's Easter. So, next slide. I have to ask this question. Who do we think we are going on missions to tell people about this? What gives me the right to get in somebody's face about this? What gives me the right to get all hot under the collar about Easter eggs and share Christ with somebody instead? Why should we push our faith on others? Have you ever tried to share about Christ and somebody just say, oh, you know, just leave me alone. You have your faith, I have my faith. I'm glad for you. My dad used to tell me this. My dad used to say, you know, I'm so happy for you that you got something, but I got something too. Just leave me alone. I said, well, Dad, there's a problem. Because the something you have doesn't give eternal life. The something you have doesn't change your life. The something you have has no power in it. And the something I have is the only way to God. And without Christ, you will die in your sins and suffer eternal torment. And my dad, to his dying breath, rejected that. Now, is it wrong of me to beg and plead with him to be reconciled to God? Should I just leave him alone and be tolerant? Right? Our society tells us all the time, Christians are not tolerant. They're intolerant people. What's amazing to me is how intolerant they can be of our belief system. But the truth is, we're not tolerant people. We won't tolerate the world going to hell and ignoring the Savior. Now, is that presumptuous of us? Is that pushy of us? Should we not disturb people? I had someone approach me the other day who I know has been in church his whole life. And he said, Pastor, I got to ask you a question. A friend of ours died recently. He was such a good Jew. And he did such great things for people. And he worked so hard. And I know he tried so badly to please God in all his ways. He was always going to synagogue. He was always being a real religious person. And he died last week. And I just got to ask you, Pastor, what do you think happened to him? And I looked the man in the eyes. I said, you know what happened to him. You know what happened to him. He's in hell, along with my dad, along with half my family members. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. That's His words. And it's only through His death and resurrection that we can be resurrected to live eternally with Him. So should we disturb people to talk about hell and condemnation? Shouldn't we just leave them alone? Not bother them? Well, I guess it matters what Jesus thinks, because if we say that we're followers of Christ, then I suppose we should listen to what He says about these things. Go to the next slide. What did Jesus say we should be doing? He gave the church a mission. And we talk about missions being sharing the gospel of Christ. What authority do we have to do that? Should we think that we have authority to confront someone with sin and tell them about the Savior? Will you stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 28? You should have this memorized by now. This has been our memory verse all month. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all or everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Lord, you call us to go. You call us to tell. You call us to live lives of glory so that the world will see you. You command it of us. But Lord, will you give us the authority to do that? Will you give us the boldness to do that? Will you be the one to speak through us? Show us, Lord, in your word, how you promised this. And give us this day on Easter a praiseworthy testimony to share. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Will you please be seated? When was this that Jesus was doing this? This was after he had been crucified, he had been buried, he had been raised to life, and he had appeared to his disciples for a period of time, and then told them the final words that they needed to know before ascending back to heaven to be at the right hand of his Father. These were the final instructions, the most important things to know. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." What is our authority in missions? Our authority is that Jesus has authority. Is that Jesus earned that authority, and Jesus gives us that authority. First, Jesus has authority. Do you just realize how much of Scripture in the New Testament talks about the lordship of Jesus Christ? How much He Himself talked about the authority that He had? How when He returns, He will be the Son of Man coming on the clouds, and every eye will see Him. Like lightning in the sky, so will you see him from the east and the west. And at his return, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is the Lord. Period. This is the Jesus that I talk about. This is the Jesus of Easter. Many people like to talk about the Jesus of Christmas, thinking he's just this small little baby in a manger. But the Jesus of all eternity is the one of Easter, the one who suffered and gave himself for us and will return in power. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And when he returns, Revelation 19 says that he will be draped in a robe and a sash that will say on it, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the authority of all the universe. This is the one who lords over everything. He is the authority over illness, over death, over all powers, next slide, over sin, over everything. All throughout his ministry and his earthly body, Jesus went and preached repentance and brought healing. Go to the next slide. We find that in Matthew 10, Jesus got his disciples together. Not only did Jesus have authority over all illness, not only could he walk up and heal someone, but he sends his disciples out and says, you will go out and you yourselves will have authority. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. The Christ that I worship, he's not an impotent God. The Christ I worship, I don't have to wonder if he can do something. I know he can. The Christ I worship is the King over all kings, even disease and illness and death. The next slide. Jesus has power over death. He proved it by having power over his own death. In fact, he told ahead of time that he would do this. He talked many times to just the Pharisees and others that would question him. He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it on the third day. They didn't know what he was talking about. They thought he was going to destroy the temple where the Israelites worshiped. No, he was pointing to himself. When you destroy this, it won't stay destroyed. It will come back. And we find that Jesus says that he will lay down his own life. He says, I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, which means to go to death, and authority to take it up again. That's what we celebrate on Easter. We celebrate that the God we serve has the authority over life and death, that death cannot hold him, and by coming to him and being his, death cannot hold us either. Go to the next slide. We saw it happen in his ministry over and over that he had the power over death. He walked up to the tomb that Lazarus had been in for days. In fact, he tells them to roll away the stone in front of the tombs. And Lazarus' own sisters were worried because they said, no, Lord, he has been in there several days. It'll stink. He'll be decomposed. Lord, don't do it. But Jesus called out, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. He has the keys over life and death in his hand. He has all authority. Jesus, in praying to the Father, says, Father, for you granted him, speaking of himself, you granted him authority over people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given to him. Jesus has the power of life and death in his hands. He has all authority even over death. I don't fear death. Have you gotten to the point where you don't fear death? Have you come to that recognition? I remember very clearly the day I realized I wasn't afraid of dying anymore. There was a series of carjackings going on all over the country in New Orleans, and we were living in Nashville at the time, and there were carjackings going on in Nashville as well. And there had been a carjacking where someone had been held at gunpoint, and they wouldn't give in, and the person shot and killed them and then ran away from the car. And it put a chill in everybody, worried about going through and driving at night and all sorts of things. Even in broad daylight, these things were happening. And I remember driving to work thinking, what would happen if I pulled out a light and somebody jumped in with a gun, what would I do? What would happen if somebody threatened me with death? And I just realized, you know what? I get to be with Jesus earlier than I thought. And I realized I wasn't afraid of that. Now, if anybody does put a gun to my head, I'm not exactly sure how I'll respond. I can't promise you that I'll just stand there in total faith. But I will tell you, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death because I know my Savior wasn't afraid of death, and He still isn't. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said, "Death, where is your sting?" It's not on there. "Where is your sting, O death?" There's no reason to feel afraid of death anymore. Jesus conquered it. He has authority over death. He has authority over illness. He has authority over death. And He has authority over all powers, good and bad. He has authority over angels. He has authority over demons. He has authority over Satan. There was a man that came to this church years ago. And I'll never forget, he's talking to me one time, and he had all sorts of interesting ideas. We'll leave it at that. And one day I was talking to him, and he said, "Oh, I'm not worried." He said, "Satan's afraid of me." I said, "Really?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Satan can't do anything against me. He's afraid of me." I said, I wouldn't be so confident, brother. Because one thing I read about Satan in the Scripture is he's not afraid of us at all. He is afraid, though, of our Savior. And so I know I can't stand toe-to-toe with Satan. I never will. I never will try. I'm not one of those that decides that I'm going to go out there and push the envelope and see how much I can push Satan. No. But I will allow Christ to cover me and protect me and fight in Satan himself. I will call on the Lord on my behalf to fight those battles. I know that Satan comes against me. I don't know if you've ever felt what the spiritual attack feels like. If you've gotten to the point in your walk with Christ that you can see what Satan is up to, because the Scripture says we're not unaware of his schemes. I don't know if you've gotten to that place, but I can guarantee you if you have, you've also realized that only Christ can save you, that only Christ can protect you, and that He can and will. The most amazing thing when you come to that place that you realize He has authority over all powers. 1 Peter 3:22 tells us that you are saved by the resurrection of Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him. There is nothing in heaven and on earth that can stand against our Savior. He has all authority. In Luke chapter 10, He sends out the 72. He sends them out to heal disease and to fight off Satan and his demons. And they come back and they say, "Even the demons submit in your name." They were completely amazed. The power of Christ, He is the authority over death, over all powers, and what's so wonderful is He is the authority over sin. In John chapter 5, our Lord tells us, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and He has given Him authority to judge, because He is the Son of Man." In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, "So you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And He tells the man, "Pick up your mat and walk." Jesus has authority over sin. The most amazing thing is Jesus will sit in judgment of all who do not repent of their sin before Him. And they will realize that this one that they've rejected, this one that they have not paid attention to, this one that they've thumbed their nose at is the King of all and the Judge of all. And He will be perfectly in His right to cast them into hell. But what's so great is that same Judge who will judge sin has also paid the price for sin. and can grant forgiveness. That same judge who deserves to send all to hell for their sin paid the price for them so they wouldn't have to. So that you know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin. Only He can forgive it. He is the authority over it. This morning, if you know and recognize your sin, realize that Jesus does too. If you're one that always has ignored your sin and thought, well, God will understand, know that there's no understanding when it comes to sin. There is no understanding when it comes to sin. You cannot stand before the throne of God and say, Lord, think about my childhood the way I was raised. You don't have the excuse to say, Lord, it's not my fault that I was that way. You cannot stand before a holy God and say, Lord, the unholiness that was my life, it's just a little mistake. There is no excuse. When you stand before a holy God, there is nothing you can hide behind except His own blood. He is the judge and has authority to judge our sin. But that's what's so amazing about Easter. Instead of sitting in judgment on the entire world, He offered His own life for their salvation. His death on the cross, His blood covers us. When we come to Him and confess our sin and say, Lord, I see my sin. I know You see my sin. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. Please wash me and cleanse me and teach me Your righteousness. Please turn my life upside down from someone who hates You to someone who loves You. Give me the desire to love You more. The Son of Man can forgive by His own blood. Jesus has authority over everything. He says in Matthew 11:27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. In John 3:35, He says, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on Him. He has authority. And Jesus earned that authority. It wasn't just given to Him. He earned it by His obedient sacrifice. In Philippians chapter 2, it's one of the most amazing passages in all the Bible. It is something that will humble you and break you of your pride when you read it. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing and tells them, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, what is therefore for? Why would you put therefore in a sentence? Because it is telling you why the previous sentence matters. It is telling you that what is about to come after is hinged with what just came before. It says that Jesus humbled Himself unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, go to the next slide, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Therefore, Christ has all authority. Why? because he fulfilled every prophecy of Scripture. Everything written about the Messiah, everything written about the kingdom to come is fulfilled in Christ, and everything written about the suffering of that Messiah is fulfilled in Christ. He came and died and earned the right to sit at the right hand of the Father and have all authority in heaven and on earth. So Jesus has all authority. Jesus earned all authority. And the most amazing thing is that he gives us that authority. Jesus gives all authority. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go. If I have a conversation with someone about my Lord and Savior, who am I, they might say, to judge them? My reaction, my response would be, I am not judging. I'm not the judge. I'm not sitting in condemnation against you. I'm not the one who condemns. But I have been sent by that one and given authority to point out sin and given authority to tell you of the freedom that you could have in him. You see, I have no authority. I'm nobody. You shouldn't even bother listening to me. But I know someone that you definitely need to listen to. I know someone who sends me out in his authority, and you can reject me all you want. You can look at me and say, you are nothing. I don't care what you say. Why should I listen to you? Go ahead and do that, but I'll tell you something. That if you'll go to his word, you'll find out everything I'm telling you is what he said. And he does have authority. And so I can sit here and tell you about these things, not worried about what you think of me, because he is the authority. He has sent me out to tell you, please be reconciled to God. Please. Why would you die in your sin? Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. He told his disciples at one point, this is what was written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. How do I know when I go to another country that I should go and that I can go? Because Christ, the one who has all authority, has told me to go. He's not only told me to go, he said it will happen. He will use his church to send his gospel to the ends of the earth. Go to the next slide. Acts 1:8. He told his disciples, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Not you might think about being my witnesses. Not once in a while when it strikes you, you'll speak about me. You will be my witnesses. Folks, that applies to us as well. You will be my witnesses. It's not an option. We get so worked up in no, the missionaries should go. No, the evangelists should speak about the Lord. No, we should speak about the Lord. We should live for the Lord and let others see what that life looks like. We should enjoy the Lord and show people what joy truly looks like. Do you know what joy truly looks like? If you worship the Lord and Savior, you do. Or if you've seen somebody loving the Lord and Savior, you do. We should go. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's your neighborhood. That's your own backyard. That's your city. In all Judea, that's your region. And Samaria, that's a little bit bigger. And to the ends of the earth. Guess where that is? To the ends of the earth. What are we supposed to do? I don't know, Lord. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to love him? You're supposed to praise him? And then you're supposed to go tell others that is why you're doing what you're doing. that you love Him and you praise Him. So I just have one question for you this morning. Well, several questions based on one question. Is Jesus your authority? Is He your authority? When the Scripture says that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, it doesn't say whether He's that to you. Is He your King? Are you submitted to Him, to His authority in your life? It's so hard to submit. I want to do everything my way. I think I know the best way of everything. For some reason, I think I'm the smartest person that's ever lived. It blows me away when I recognize that. I stop back and go, why do I think I'm so bright? I do stupid things all the time. Why in the world do I think I'm an authority on anything? He's the authority. Why am I so resistant to saying, Lord, You need to show me? An individual told me recently, called me up praising the Lord about what the Lord had done. And this individual said, you know what? I'm learning something. I'm learning to trust God and put it all in His hands, because every time I do it my way, it doesn't end right. But every time I do it His way, He always works it out. I said, brother, when you figure it out, let me know, because I'm trying to find the same thing out. Why is it that I always want to do it my way? It never works. Why is it that I think I'm the authority? It never works. Jesus earned the right to be the authority in your life. He earned that right. You didn't die on the cross for Him. And you cannot, by the way, ever say, Lord, You know my cross. It's so heavy. I'm sorry. Try His cross. The wrath of the Father poured out on Him on the cross for all sin. No, He died for you so you could live for Him. Dying to sin and walking in new life. Are you submitting your life to that authority? And are you going? Are you going and telling and sharing His life in that authority? We're going to have a time of invitation.